Well, still at the Aperto, Valdemar. We talked yesterday, but in fact you've been around to see more work and you felt that you wanted to revise or add something to what you already said yesterday about the Biennale.
Well, I have managed to see everything now, and I've taken more care this morning because, as you know, in the sort of the hurly and burly of the opening days, it's very hard to see things. But I made a particular point of going to see the Eastern European pavilions. And yesterday, the sound piece that we went to see by Gerald Newman, there was a line in it that haunted me for most of the afternoon. Sensation is the key to intellect, it says over and over again, rather sort of haunting way. And if there is a sort of key to this whole Biennale, it seems to me, it's an actual belief in that. We've forgotten the power of rationale, we've forgotten the power of reason, and we've given ourselves almost totally over to this sort of hedonistic belief in sensation. And the East German pavilion that I went to see really was quite extraordinary. It's extraordinary for a number of reasons. One, because of the audacity, the sheer bravery of the exhibits. I mean, I should say that there's nothing but great big crucifixions in there. These enormous paintings, 30 foot long and 20 foot high, of massive great Velázquez-like scenes of war and fighting and people being strung up and massacres and blood and gore, the usual sort of thing that one associates with German art, but somehow very surprising coming out of East Germany, because it's full of a really sort of tortuous, persecuted atmosphere, and it seems to me every work in there is saying in one way or another, it's a sort of lament to the loss of freedom and spirituality. And I found it a very moving pavilion. There was another pavilion where you felt this great sort of giving over to fear and sensation, the Colombian section, where again you had figures being dragged over the coals, real Inquisition art. Now I know this is not anything new. We've seen expressionism torturing the human figure. It's a sort of favourite artistic device of the past 5 years. But the degree of it here really did surprise me, and the anguish on show. And I was talking yesterday about how this is a very Rococo exhibition, and I think on one level, on a superficial level, that's exactly what it is. It's full of playful decorative art, but underneath that, there's some very fearful artists saying some very fearful things here. I don't know if you've been along to the Quartetto exhibition. Strange affair, that is. It's three critics selecting four artists, three of the big European critics. So, I mean, presumably they've got one and a third each, I don't know. But there's Boyce there, there's Enzo Cucchi, and there's Fabro, and there's Bruce Neumann. And in this rather gorgeous Venetian palazzo, there they are. Neumann in particular looks absolutely absurd. Straight neon lights, chairs upside down, a very sort of architectonic piece, doesn't fit in at all. I mean, you wonder why these people bother. Surely some kind of adaptability is a prerequisite at a display like that. But there's a superb Boyce piece. Now, the Boyce piece to me is the best thing I've seen. It's almost like the Stations of the Cross. It's a blackboard piece, and it tells the story of Joseph Beuys. It's autobiographical, and it follows his rise from... we know the story well, don't we, by now? You know, Stuka pilot falls down in Russia, gets caught up in the snow, slays his way to great artistic success, and... But it's told in a sort of amusing way. Instead of just white chalks, he's used coloured chalks, and again, it's almost playful, but there's this great tableau in the middle. I mean, I've never seen... Boyce drawing himself quite so well. He sort of appears almost like a comic character with a hat on. And there he is in the middle, falling in love. And the old crown principle and hair principle, if you've ever been to a Boyce lecture, you know that the crown represents the masculine, the hair represents the feminine. Basically, all over this blackboard, Boyce, the crown, is chasing his wife, the hair. And finally, they meet and consummate it all. But it's delightful. It's like looking at the Bayeux tapestry or something, a really delightful narrative. And of course, the sort of typical Boycean trick at the end of it, he's got a bicycle and ridden all the way along. And the piece is called This Is Not a Bicycle Piece. But I love that. It's the warmest thing I've seen. There's a lot of sincerity in it. Mm. I came back really to have a look at the graffiti artists, when I'm talking about the Aperto section now, the young section. Now, there were a couple here last time, but of course, everybody's desperately looking for something to mould into a movement at this Biennale, and the graffiti people are definitely the most coherent, A1 Herring. And what's quite clear as you walk through the salt cellars is that they are the loudest thing here, and in a lot of ways the most superficially the most appealing. I'm not a great fan of Herring or anything, but they do stand out, and they stand out as something coherent and lively. But of course, after 2 minutes you realise that the thing is completely meaningless, and it does actually function like a subway train. I mean, the thing flashes past you for a few seconds, you get a lot of thrills out of it, then off it's gone again, and then you're feeling nice and empty. It's like eating a Chinese meal. So I mean, that was confirmed what I felt about the graffiti artists. But Helen Chadwick looks very good there. A bit crowded, perhaps. But you just find that all the artists who are taking slightly longer to say something, who have a serious intent, Paul Richards, Helen Chadwick, these people are looking really good. They're looking really good because around them, everybody else is looking for the sort of snap, crackle and pop of instant art.
I've just been talking to John Roberts about the selection. And the fact that, you know, he selected five artists from one gallery, although one's American, is quite interesting, I think. And the fact that they're artists who, I suppose, have been associated with the third area, so to speak, the area that has been largely ignored by most of the other galleries in Britain. And here we have them looking very strong in this Alberto section.
When you've got a jamboree like this, where basically it's a free-for-all, everybody clamouring for space, everybody clamouring for the viewer's attention, everywhere you look, things coming out at you, what you find is that, in a way, you can't blame people for trying to form themselves into movements, or indeed, you can't blame selectors for choosing several artists from one gallery. Last time, our own Nicholas Logdale and the Listen Gallery managed to present a sort of a bulk view of something, of an aesthetic. Here you've got the LA galleries with the sort of the American neo-minimalists, and the Lewis Johnson Gallery from London represented with a sort of bulk of artists. Now, the great thing about doing it that way is that at least you have the chance for three or four artists to make some kind of coherent argument up together. Mm. And they look more effective. I mean, I think that they've, you know, it's nice to see these Americans who share at least a vague approach to working, because they give each other a kind of collective strength. They don't have to be sort of thrown out into the open market as everybody else is. And you find that once you settle down to a rhythm like those LA gallery rhythms, so you can actually look at the things much more easily and enjoy them more for the very fact they have support around them. It's not just one instant bashy thing to take in and absorb. You've got four or five artists working in at least a comparable way, and that gives each other strength. They feed on it.
What's your feeling about Howard Hodgkin, about that show?
Well, I'm sure they'll sell a lot of ice cream in there. Howard Hodgkin's an artist I've always had. I've always found it very difficult to have very strong feelings about. I think he's a very, very playful artist. He's so typically English, isn't he? I mean, you get any kind of 50s, 60s English painter like that, and they always want to do the still life and this. They're always in search of the French touch. That French touch, that little sort of line that makes a flower piece look complete. You know, that little view through the kitchen window, that little scene of the settee, the artist's studio. It's so Matissean, so south of France-y. English artists are obsessed with trying to acquire that feeling, and you can tell from the way they dress at this do that they're really desperately trying to be continental. Now, Hodgkin to me has always been the ultimate in that, because he's blended the French touch appeal with a sort of abstraction, something much more English, more Hoylandy. I've quite liked it, really, but I've thought it was more spiritual than it was. I say that because having seen him on display against this O'Donnell, this pale green in the British Pavilion, and having seen these Hodgkin things looking like opal fruits laid out on a green tray, I mean, I actually realise that they aren't in any way spiritual works of art. Now, I know that might sound a bit trite, but they don't have depth. They're very flat, the colours are very flat, and that green around them brings out the flatness of the colours. And I think there are one or two exquisite pictures in there, actually. Exquisite in the way a Redon flower pastel is exquisite. Something very striking, very immediate, a real glory, a real celebration of colour. They're very celebratory. But the ones that don't work are just flat. They're just colours applied meaninglessly. And I don't know, I think there's a sort of largeness missing to Hodgkin, in particular at the show. He looks as if there's... It's a very hard space to fill, that large space, and he's not a monumental artist. And the exhibition sets out, I think, and ultimately achieves a kind of living room quality, which I don't find very appealing. I was very disappointed, really, with the British Pavilion.
Helen, well, we're sitting here in the Alberto section, looking at your pieces that are installed here. I mean, how do you think the whole thing has worked for you in relation to the work in Venice and the Biennale and so on?
Well, there's been positive and negative things, of course. The space allocation is pretty tight here, and I guess everyone's suffered from that.
Is there essentially a very fundamental difference, say, from making an exhibition here, because this is the first time you've shown work in Venice, I assume, and making it, say, at the Serpentine Gallery? I mean, of course, Venice is the major difference, but, I mean, has it been an interesting experience for you in any particular way?
Well, I think one has to be even more independent than normal. Like, there are no resources here that you can tap off. You have to have everything of your own tools, your own workmen travel with you. It's a little bit pioneer. I mean, you're kind of given a space, and the works here has arrived on time, which was a blessing in itself, but everything else is really up to you.
And the works that you're showing, sort of three-dimensional box structures with photographic imagery imposed on the sides.
I showed these last summer at the Serpentine, so it's almost their first birthday, and I decided to show them again here because even if the space is small, they can work in quite a compact way. As they're a life story of 10 objects, one can't really show a selection. It's kind of like a whole piece, which can either work well in an optimum situation or in a more crude way, which I think it does here, but it's not so bad.
What about this section of the Biennale, the Alberto? I mean, do you actually think there's a particular area that's being examined here, or is it all to do with, as John was saying earlier, eclecticism and a very broad scan of what's taking place? I mean, are there any interesting areas that you think come into focus here?
Well, I mean, the most prominent area is the one of the graffiti artists from New York, and unfortunately I'm just a little way down from them. I'm kind of squeezed in between the Italians and the graffiti artists on the other side, which are like the two Italian families, it seems. So I'm very much like the thin edge of the wedge. I'm like solitary. I'm the only British artist in this particular section of the Aperto Gallery. I chose to come into a space that had natural light rather than try and show as part of the British group, which I think might have suited the work more, but alas, I had to go for the architectural features. So, I don't know, the show must seem to an outsider pretty much like a collection of disassociated bits. Yeah, it's a mixed salad, isn't it, really?
Having seen the Alberto show again, we're on our way to see the Giardini part of the Venice Biennale. And John Walters, you're going to give us your feelings about the whole thing. I mean, this must be slightly déjà vu for you, having been here before.
Yeah, I did come 2 years ago to do the BBC radio thing, of course. But again, as always, the overriding impression is one of El Modello Italiano. Well, you think they've got 2 years to get this blighter together, you know, and they still can't get things printed, they can't get things unpacked, they can't get things... Look, when I came 2 years ago, I came to do the radio piece. We had about, like you're doing now, about 3 days with the critics going around trying to get artists and things, fine. Then I came back with my wife because I wanted to really see the work in situ and also go down, you know, see the Academia and, you know, the churches and so on. I thought, fine, I'll come back in for a week. I came back about 6 weeks later at the Cellars at that time where John Roberts' work is there, John Roberts' selection is there. They'd started to put up a sign saying Biennale, and obviously, when we all arrived, the prediction arrived, they got to about the I, and the B, and they put out the sign, and A, they will stand back and have a look, and E is great, and now we have a little lunch, and yes. But by the time we got there in, like, August, they got round to the second L, you know, and you could imagine that the top of the whole thing closed. Yeah. They've just got the Biennale, eh, Bernissimo, and they're all, and another bloke comes along at the fourth bridge, and he's taking down the B. Now, you see what I mean? And so that's the way it is, and it is the great hang-up with this whole thing always. You turn up this work, I'm going back to the garden now with you here, just because I want to see the main body, the official representatives, you know, Howard Hodgkin I've seen, the British, I'm glad to say, were there. That's one thing we will say for British art.
Right, it's here.
No nonsense from that lot. We're there manning the barricades. It's Rorke's Drift in artistic terms.
Right.
Howard Hodgkin is there. The work is there, and I think looking certainly compared with the work around it that we can see is very dignified. There's no question of that. It looks like work. There's a solid body of work there. I found the actual painting of the instead of a white backdrop, as you've probably noticed already, it looks like a sort of avocado sort of backdrop, you know, a kind of either it's an avocado dip or, in British terms, perhaps watercress soup walls there. But on the other hand, that's got a kind of bathroom-style restfulness which one needs at Biennale, because it's a shambles. It's a delightful shambles. We like it. Everybody likes Venice. Yeah. It's the old problem is you can't leave. Art's too good to be left to the Italians. You know, they've had their burst of it, and because of the old names, they think it's rather like New Orleans putting on a jazz festival. Yeah. The guys aren't there anymore. You know, they were there when it started. They've gone. And, you know, the name New Orleans means jazz. The name Venice means art. And so they think they can put it on. In many ways, it ought to be put on here, but taken out of the hands of the Italians, in my opinion. I don't like the look of their work. What is this stuff called, the new culture, or whatever? Yeah, it's called something.
Revival.
Yes, I think it's called something like the cultured painters or something that. Which looks like absolute codswallop to me, speaking as an uninformed layman, it looks like codswallop. But, hello, we're pulling away from San Zachariah. Now we're moving further along towards the gardens, just keeping the audience amused here.
That's right.
But there's so much thing. Look, those cellars there that John Roberts is mainly responsible for, he's done a good job, I think, in his selection. He's got interesting people whose work I'd like to see. Out of John's hands is the fact that one can't see it. There's Paul Richard stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, just inside the middle one.
That's right.
Yeah. And really, you might as well, he was rather depressed. I saw him last night and he was a little bit, I don't know, a couple of drinks, a bit under the weather about his work. And, of course, you cheer him up and say, no, it looks fine. But in fact, he doesn't look fine because it might as well exhibit in a coal cellar, really.
Because the light...
The light, it's, for anyone who's never been there before, it's like being in a barn. There are strip lighting in the roof. 2 years ago when I came, the Italians in their wisdom had decided on a colour theme. Let's have a purple room, let's have a green room, like a disco. At least they've got the colour, the lights to be fairly together for this particular Biennale. I think John sorted that out. Well, British artists, Kerry Trango, Rose Garrod, of course, well selected, interesting work, you know, and Helen Chadwick down in the third one. But the trouble is with Helen Chadwick is that she's sharing with the Americans, mainly the graffiti artists.
That's right.
And I went in yesterday and there was Keith Haring in there, working up there. He's in there up a bloody ladder. He's up there, slap, 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 on go the day glow colours.
That's right.
He's got a cassette player there going, hey baby, bip-bap, booey, in a ball floor. People are attracted, what is this? He's in a disco art and they turn up. And Helen Chadwick's next to him, almost like somebody who's trying to get a string quartet together. Really delicate, you know, sort of remembrance of all sorts of things there. And of course overshadowed by that. That's always the difficulty. I think it's almost always terrible for the artist. The artists don't like the experience of coming here. They think their work isn't well represented when it's on the day. But strangely enough, everybody enjoys it. Don't ask me why, but everybody enjoys it.
Right.
Hang on a minute. Move around, let some people get on. What I was saying was that with Alan Chadwick's stuff, you know, as I say, it was like somebody having a rather delicate, you know, string quartet or perhaps Victorian ballads, whatever, next to a disco, and everybody looks at the disco. The flashing lights are there. There's him halfway up a ladder actually painting, waiting for the television people to come on and look at it. That's fine. That's the American thing. We've got to accept that. It's the It's McDonald's painting, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with McDonald's, but you know what I mean. It's the Big Mac.
Yeah.
Give the Big Mac a brush.
That's right.
And he'll go up a ladder and exactly and paint Mickey Mouse in some sort of sexual situation. Yeah. That's fine. But I've got sort of Helen's stuff next to it in that it is quite sensitive, delicate work. And I saw stuff at the Serpentine a year or so ago when John Roberts had a selection there, which was very good. But it's always impossible here, isn't it? I mean, they've always sort of got no idea. I talked to the woman 2 years ago who decided that there ought to be a purple room and a green room, and there was, for instance, John Stezica with his, Dayglow, all these things. I mean, there are artists who turn up there who've been working away at their colour values or whatever it is for about 2 years. They put it up there, and they put a purple light on it. And I said to the woman, why have you done this? And she said, oh, well, he must mean that the artist, he gets a new view of his work. Because he gets a bloody new view if he's going to be shot in a purple light. There's no question of that. But, I mean, the Italians, we're coming to our stop now. Here's the main stop. Let's get off. Yes, I think so. This is the nearest he gets. The other coach thing stops there. But, I mean, this morning I was going around. There were a couple of Italian critics, presumably. It's Critics Day. There they were. They start to look at one of the works. It's on the wall. They can't quite see who it's by. One of them puts her thumb on the work and lifts it away from the wall and tries to look behind it to see if there's a name behind it. Beyond belief, she gets a mate who gets round the other side. They lift it off the wall. The work is lifted off the wall and so they can look behind it. And then they hang it up again. And you think, this is going too far. Let's go and have a look at the main exhibition in the garden.
Okay.
Well, I'm now in the Giardini section of the Biennale, and in fact, in the section which is quite small, but it's a number of installations here, and the sound that can be heard is from a monitor, and the piece is Modus Vivendi by Ule Marina Abramovic. This time it's a piece by Plessy called Reflecting Water, and it's a video monitor with a neon sign reflected in water with a painting behind. Bill Fever, what do you think of the Biennale so far, Bill?
So far, of course, it's been forays, festivities, people getting themselves tight, people getting themselves noticed, very much people getting themselves noticed, people getting in on the action, and action rather dying out, I'm afraid.
What about the work? Are you blind to it now, or are any particular sections growing in their importance in your view, or not?
Well, there's two kinds of work. One's the kind of work that was coming on last time, which is the revived classicism. Mm. It's not just your return to figuration, but it's the anything that's got emblems in the past and that can be called classical is classical, and it's painted in the right style. The only place it hasn't got classical remains is, of course, the Greek Pavilion. And elsewhere, well, the usual mishmash, I think. The National Pavilion's almost always going for a kind of who's uncle to whom selection process, I think. Few exceptions, the usual very immaculately and beautifully produced German pavilion, the clean, pure lines of the Dutch pavilion with slight sort of gestural paintwork disturbed me marginally this year.
Mm. Are there any surprises that you've come across?
Not many surprises, no. I think surprises a very predictable in that I didn't really expect to see all this pseudo-classicism all over the central pavilions. I thought, honestly, that after last time they wouldn't bother again, but it's a rampant Italian kind of spurious classicism. And this is all over the place, and so that's a surprise. It's not a good surprise. It's not an interesting surprise. It's just a, that's it, is it?
What about the Alberto section?
I thought the Alberto section was confused. Now, deliberately confused, maybe. Confusing, well, not so confusing as confused, because it had got, you know, the graffiti artists from New York on the one hand, sort of graffitiing away, some of them very smartly. I thought that was, again, not really necessary this year, although it is an accurate reflection of a lot of what's loudest that's going on in New York. I did think that really organisation by particular Italian critics, particular friendships, particular London dealer, perhaps, was something that shouldn't go entirely unremarked on.
Declan McGonagall, in fact, who was on the last issue, so he has been heard on Audio Arts before, is here in Venice, and I was wondering, Declan, for you, I mean, what work has emerged as being important over the 2 or 3 day period?
Well, the work in the German pavilion, Baumgarten's piece particularly, I think. I was just saying to you that in the midst of a jamboree, the thing to do is speak softly, and he speaks very softly but with great authority. And there's an object lesson there, I think, for all sorts of people, because the overall impression, the overall feeling I have is not depression, that's too strong, but it's actually ultimately it's a sort of slightly depressing experience. The massive amount of resources, the number of people who are here from all over the world, all go into this event, but the detail is lost. For instance, the exhibition at the Salt Mines, the younger artists, you find yourself trying to focus on specific work rather than the exhibition, because the exhibition as a total package is so amateurish. And it's quite bizarre to, on the one hand, be operating at a very high level in terms of resources, and on the other hand, to find that the screens haven't been constructed properly. It's as if in trying to aim very high, they lose the detail and the attention. And that's why the German pavilion, I think, is particularly good. I think the British pavilion is a beautiful installation. Great care and patience. I'm not that enthusiastic about the artist's work, but very cool and exquisite installation. So I'll probably be going away with very mixed feelings.
Right.
Wonderful to be in Venice.
Yeah.
And it was interesting yesterday to see the Quartetto exhibition. And again, I found that the sort of problems that were arising were ones where the work was competing with the context rather than trying to work with the context, particularly in a building like the building that the Quartetto exhibition is housed. And next door to it is the Church of the Frari, which is an incredible interior space. So that a whole range of mixed emotions, actually.
Right. I mean, have you come across any work, perhaps from, say, other countries that you might not have been very familiar with, that has come as a sort of a surprise, or that you found interest in it?
I have to say, no, nothing has really struck me. I mean, apart from Baumgarten's piece in the German pavilion, but nothing has jumped forward. I mean, I would really need... I'm here for another day, so I'll have sort of some peace and quiet to actually spend more time on my own looking at exhibitions with that in mind. But it's been very much just absorbing a general sense of things so far. There's a lot of stuff to see. And the main impression you have is that there's a lot of mediocre art being produced and being celebrated by different nationalities. There is this problem of nationalism celebrating work, almost whether it merits it or not. But I haven't seen anybody that I'm going to rush back to London and ring up about a show yet.
Right, because presumably at the back of your mind in being here might have been the idea of making an exhibition of something at the ICA.
Yes, well, absolutely. I mean, that's part of the point of being here. It's also to meet people and talk about things and so forth. But as I say, I've got another day. Maybe something will emerge in that quieter time.
Actually, sitting down on the other side of me is Chris Carroll from the Third Eye Centre. he immediately gets up.
Chris, do you want to just give me your sort of response to Venice and the work here? I mean, is there anything, or have you seen anything that's particularly impressed you?
Not yet. The work of the English artist, Helen Chadwick, I enjoyed particularly, and Rose Garrard's work. The Howard Hodgkin pavilion looks stunning, and the work in it is also fine. But, as Declan has said, there is a vast amount to see. It seems the more ornate the pavilion, the less interesting the work inside it, and it's quite interesting to see the kinds of artists that countries have chosen to represent them. There is a lot of heroic work. There seems to be an interest, perhaps, in history and in work that certainly would have no meaning or relevance in Scotland. But it's been a fascinating for 3 days, and with a further two to actually look around more intensely.
Right.
Hopefully one will come back not just with a number of projects involving British artists, but one will actually come back with artists from further afield.
Yeah. Certainly in the central Italian pavilion there seems to be an absolute obsession with resurrecting the Renaissance and making work with it.
I agree. And it actually isn't terribly interesting, you know, particularly when one is in Venice and one can see so much of the real thing. What one sees is often really a tame imitation and not very much wit either. There's a lot of very pedestrian work.
E caloroso benvenuto al signor Presidente della Repubblica, Sandro Pertini.
Teresa, you were involved really in organising Howard's exhibition. I mean, what is your feeling now that it's up and what this is a sort of third press day and it's about to open officially? I mean, what's your view of the show and the response to it?
Well, I have the impression that the show is going to do and be just what we hoped it would be. For the last two Biennale, the British Council has shown artists who are, well, much more established than maybe the artists we showed in the 60s. An artist whose work is very well known in Britain and maybe in one or two other countries, but not more generally. And in Howard's case, his work is just hardly known in Europe at all. So obviously what particularly interests us is to see the reaction of other European museums and critics to the show. It's clear from looking at today's papers that the Italian press are very interested and sympathetic, and there was a very nice reproduction of painting after Corro in Corriere del Sol. And I get the impression, talking to people, not just the British partisans, but others, that it's a very moving and effective exhibition.
The actual sort of green has caused a lot of discussion. I mean, what's your view about the green in the pavilion?
Well, I'm now absolutely convinced that it does precisely the job that Howard intended it to do.
Well, Teresa, in fact, had to dash off to attend to some organisation matters and to find Howard Hodgkin. And this is Sunday, the 10th of June, and in fact, it's the official opening, and there's a lot of hustle and bustle around the main entrance here.
Grazie anche a tutte le autorità, al ministro De Michelis,
al presidente della regione, al sottosegretario Galasso e tutti gli altri.
Anthony, you're here in Venice. You've made an exhibition in a Renaissance building with a group of British artists to be parallel to the Biennale itself, and I was here a few days ago to see a performance by Sylvia Zeranek and a sound piece by Gerald Newman. Perhaps you could, you know, explain why you've made this exhibition as well to be parallel to the Biennale.
Yes, I'm glad you used that word parallel, because that is really the way I think about it. It's not supposed to be a challenge, a direct challenge to the official view of what's in the Biennale, but it is an opportunity to show a wider spectrum of what's going on in Britain. I feel it's a pity that other countries or other individuals don't do similar things to take advantage of the fact that everyone in the international art world just about is in Venice for this week, and it's a wonderful opportunity to actually give a wider spread, a wider view of what's going on, apart from what is inevitably a very particular view that happens in both the national pavilions and in the Aperto show. Due to the choice of particular individuals to select them. It is also true, of course, that although something like the Aperto is supposed to be a current survey of what is going on amongst young artists internationally, that it is strongly affected by certain pressures. And I quite deliberately in my show not only put on artists that I am directly involved with, because I'm not really trying to just pursue my own line. I'm trying to genuinely present a very Catholic selection of artists from England. What I'm trying to do really is expressed in the title of my exhibition, which is Colazione Inglese, which is in fact a pun, because it's a misspelling of the word colazione, and it implies both a substantial meal and also just a collection, in the same way as any meal is, one hopes, a satisfying whole, but made up of very different and contrasting textures and flavours. I found out subsequently that the word colazione, as I have spelt it, in very large Italian dictionaries, does actually mean a confrontation, which is quite nice, even though it wasn't the prime intention. I like it, obviously, to be a confrontation of art and people, but it's not intended to be a confrontation of me versus the Biennale. It is a parallel effort and another opportunity, yes, for people to see more.
Yes. Now, obviously, at a Biennale, at this Biennale, there's a sort of a gathering of the international art world here, and that's why you're here at this time. Have you been able to attract them away from the main sort of centres, like the Aperto and the Gardini, where the main pavilions are? I mean, have they actually come to this church and seen the work?
Yes, they certainly have. Inevitably, the vast majority come when you do your party or reception, since, to a certain extent, apart from an international art exhibition, Venice is a giant floating cocktail party at this time of year, at the Biennale. But it was a very impressive turnout at that time, and there's been a constant trickle of truly interested and interesting people. Mm-hmm. Not great numbers, one wouldn't expect great numbers, but it's very gratifying that interesting and useful people have come, have found their way here, and responded very strongly to the work.
You talked about pressures. I suppose by actually making your own independent exhibition here, you've been quite outside of all of those pressures which one has been hearing about that have taken place in the main sections of the Biennale. So, you know, I think that means you've had quite a lot of space to present work away from any vested interest as such. But you were here 2 years ago, weren't you?
Yes.
Is there any kind of noticeable difference in attitude toward what you've shown this time as opposed to last time?
Well, I think, yes, I wouldn't say very different attitude, but certainly the novelty element was much stronger last time. And there has been a build-up of interest this time. Certainly more people have come, and more people from other countries. Last time there was a huge loyal contingent from Britain who came, and they all came again this time, which is very splendid. More people from London and from the rest of Britain come to see the work in this show than is likely, that you're likely to get if you've put on a similar show in London, in fact, because they are all gathered together and going around together. And it's a good opportunity for them to see a lot of things.